This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back in. 6:41 here on Thursday morning. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. Mike, Ali, Bo, Dylon hanging out with you, talking all things Falcons so far. I got a interesting conversation coming up at 7 o'clock about a little bit of insight, I think, yesterday. We always encourage people to just, if you just listen close, guys, if you just listen close to what these coaches and coordinators and players are saying, there is some insight. I think we got some of that yesterday. We'll break that down for you on what we think that some of the Falcons' defensive assistants were saying about the new rookies. And if you listen close, I think there's some insight into their new roles. Yeah. We're also, look, Ali and I were talking during the break, and I was like, man, I don't even know what Mahjong is. My wife has played Mahjong the last two nights. Like, I couldn't even tell you what that is. Like, I would hang out with the neighbors and play spades if they wanted to throw down or tonk. Ali hits me with a couple, and I don't even know if she can say the names of them on air.
I know.
She hit me with a couple card games. I was like, bro, I've definitely never heard of that.
31? 31 is common, right? Like 21.
I don't know.
But
have y'all
31.
Ever heard of this? Y'all ever heard of 31?
I've never heard of 31.
Yeah.
It's a game.
BS? Have you heard of BS?
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, okay, everybody knows
the BS. What was the other one? Don't say the...
Egyptian...
Egyptian rat. Rat something.
Blank.
Yeah, Egyptian rat blank. I was like, yo, I definitely never heard of
definitely
that.
Definitely heard of that one.
It is such a competitive game in the Mac household. Like, we are all grown adults. Some have children. And, like, we just will go crazy over this game. Ruin holidays over it.
I love y'all know that. Euchre? Heard of Euchre?
Yeah, I've played Euchre before. Man. I couldn't tell you what the rules are, but I definitely have played
it. A little variation. It's a spades variation.
Okay. Yeah. I can combine with that. Tonk is. I guess it would be a gin rummy variation. I guess.
Yeah.
Where you're looking for sets and things like that. I had to learn tonk when I was playing ball, man, because the guys in the locker room were just so passionate about tonk, dude. I'm about to drop on you. I'm about to drop. Hey, I'm gonna step back. And I got to figure this out.
I got one card game that I guarantee neither one of y'all have probably ever heard of.
What's that?
It's called Hand and Foot.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
Got it.
Definitely
don't
off the
know
radar.
It.
Yeah, it's my grandparents who are from Michigan, they taught me. I think it's a very northern type of game.
Yeah, my grandparents are from Michigan too, bro, and I've never heard of such, okay?
Oh, okay. I don't know where they got it from.
They taught me spades, for that matter.
We play Phase 10 over here in the
But that's one of the ones that comes at like a you can't play that with a regular deck of cards.
No,
right?
It's like an Uno deck.
Yeah.
It's called Phase 10. And we get very spirited and angry over that.
Yeah.
We used to play Phase 10. Like Skip Bowl as well too. You guys know Skip Bowl.
Yeah,
Skip
Bowl. That's Skip a good Bowl. One.
Solid. Uno's fun too. So I smell a wake up call coming. I don't know. We'll have to figure it out when we get to it. Let's pivot real quick, guys. We got to knock out the Atlanta Braves. And I said this going to the break. There was a couple of streaks that were broke last night. First of all, Brenton Doyle that hit the tie-breaking home run had been 0 for 20. No big deal. Tie-breaking home run had been 0 for 20 going to that at bat.
Wow.
So that's always awesome. And also the skid for the Rockies. I think they had lost, 15 of their last 16 or something like that. Just an insane number when it comes to this. And I'll give the Rockies credit. And, they were very rowdy in the dugout.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was almost like they were like, dude, enough's enough. Tired of being the doormat. I don't care if Chris Sale's on the bump. Obviously, Chris Sale, Bo, with a good night last night. He was not the cause of it, nor do I think that he's always been the cause of the loss. But for whatever reason, the guy in Chris Sale that's the reigning Cy Young winner, you expect to be the stopper for this rotation. It seems like the Braves lineup's always coming up short when he's on the bump.
Well, we used to see this a lot back in the day in the 90s, I felt like, where there was, it'd be certain guys that would go to the mound and the bats would struggle. And it's just kind of this mindset that you almost like you don't have to do as much today. The Braves, I think this might be the first time ever that the Braves played a series in Colorado and didn't hit a home run.
There was some kind of
weird set about that. But they were bad offensively yesterday, just bad. They couldn't hit with guys in. I mean, and it wasn't like Dahlander was this great pitcher. The guy went in with like a ERA over 7.
Yeah.
And, you know, Chris Sale is starting to lower his. I just thought it was great. It was a great performance from Chris Sale. You know, one of that one home run might not even been a home run had it not been in Coors Field, because the ball does still carry there. I don't humidor or not, that ball still carries there. So it was kind of a disappointing game, but you went 4-2 in a 6-game West Coast road trip after being absolutely pathetic on the road. I mean, you know, you were awful on the road before that, and so I'll take it because, again, you were 2-11 on the road before that road trip. So,
well, and I really blame us for the loss yesterday. We kind of jinxed it. Everyone was so excited about the Braves getting back to 500 before May.
That's so true.
So we did it. We did it to ourselves by getting too hyped about it.
Yeah, and I think it was Brendan Gaudin, I think, put out a tweet yesterday. It was like, the Braves have a chance to do something crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just be like, you know. It was something about, and I had to look back up the tweet, but it was something about how teams that have started 0-7, only 4 of them have gotten back to 500, and none of them have done this early. And I'm like, oh, well, yeah, that'd be awesome.
Now it's not going to happen.
Now you're like, oh,
thanks,
man. And now you got the Los Angeles Dodgers coming into town, which, like we talked about yesterday, not great on the road. So if you're looking at the Dodgers saying, man, this is going to be a tough series, let's just see. I don't know. I'm trying to think. I think Grant Holmes is going tomorrow night. They finally put out the probable. Spencer Schwellenbach will face Roki Sasaki on Saturday. That'll be a 7:15 Eastern game. And then Bryce Elder finishes it up against Dustin May. So
yeah, those are the 3 you want going.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think at this point you want Holmes and Schwellenbach. I don't know that you want Bryce Elder.
I want Schwellenbach. I don't know what Holmes did in Arizona going against that Dodgers lineup. I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know if you remember that, but he gave up, three of the home runs to Suarez might have been his. I don't know, maybe just 2 of them. But, yeah, he wasn't very good in Arizona. He had been good before, I give you that.
But maybe when he comes back home, he'll be better.
There you go. Look at the vibe. Love the vibes, man.
Silver lining.
I need that. I need that this morning. Dylan, speaking of vibes, man, let's go ahead and hit the front page.
Yeah, we got to cover the NBA playoffs. Amen Thompson and the Rockets, they had a dominant win over the Golden State Warriors. Final score, 131-116, and this is going to force a Game 6 on Friday in San Francisco.
This one got out of hand so freaking early. Like Steve Kerr and company were like, all right, we're down by 30, put in the backups. And credit to the Warriors bench, like, made it interesting at least. I think they pulled back within 15, I want to say.
Yeah, yep.
But nonetheless, man, it's like, you just, I don't know. Playoff Jimmy wasn't a thing. You know, playoff Steph wasn't a thing. They took this one right on the chin. And I'll be honest, Dylan, I don't know that this series is over, bro. Like,
it's not. Now, I don't expect the Warriors to have just a dunder and a flat game that they had where they shot the ball poorly. Obviously, like you said, playoff Steph and playoff Jimmy, they did not have a good game. And look, teams tend to have one of these series, especially if it's an extended series. Each team tends to have just a dud of a game. The Rockets had one earlier in the series. Last night, obviously, the Warriors. So I expect Game 6 to be a lot closer, and it's going to be back in Golden State. So I feel like Golden State will close out in 6. But to your point, this Rockets group is a scrappy bunch, and they got this little bit of hope left, and I think they're going to make sure they do a lot with it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens tomorrow. So the Minnesota Timberwolves, they eliminated the Lakers. Rudy Gobert had playoff career highs with 27 points and 24 rebounds. Julius Randle had 23 points. And Minnesota, of course, will advance to the Western Conference semifinals with their 103-96 victory. Tonight, we do have the Knicks at Detroit and the Nuggets at the Clippers at 10.
You know what's the interesting part of this is that with the Lakers going in, They try to play small ball, and I think it's just simply the fact that nothing else is working. That's why the headline is like Rudy Gobert like goes off. It's like, dude, yeah, because they had nothing for this guy. Like the entire lineup they put in completely undersized. And again, I get it. If you're JJ Redick, you're like, nothing else is working. You know what I mean? Like some of these guys that are our big men have been absolute buns during the playoffs. Like, let's go a different direction. But fun to see Rudy Gobert go off, and that LA Lakers saga comes to an end.
Yeah, I just. Oh, go ahead, Bo. Go ahead.
I mean, I don't feel sorry for J.J. Redick. He did this to himself. He sacrificed defense for offense. He's the smartest guy in the room. He'll tell you. Just listen to his little podcast. This was a series. I don't think that the Lakers necessarily should have lost. I just don't think they managed it well. And, you know, not giving any guy – not playing a guy that's 40-something years old 40 minutes at the center position is asinine, if you ask me, especially against the Gobert. And I want to give Rudy Gobert credit, who is kind of a – he's a guy that takes a lot of heat, and he brings a lot of it on himself, but he just stood up and played hard, and they out-physicaled the Lakers. And, you know, now we get the LeBron – 90-minute press conference last night where he talks about he's not going away, which he shouldn't. He in some ways put up an MVP caliber season, and he's going to get probably quite a few votes for MVP. But I love seeing Anthony Edwards' team progress and move on. I like this Timberwolves team, especially since they moved on from Karl Anthony Towns. They got Julius Randle in there. I like that team a lot better, like DiVincenzo. So I'm a big fan of the Timberwolves.
And to your point, I want to piggyback off of your point, Bo, about the Timberwolves out-physicaling the Lakers, because this Lakers team, the Timberwolves were probably the worst matchup for them because of the Timberwolves' size with Julius Randle, with Rudy Gobert. And we talked about the Lakers having to play small ball. They had to play small ball because their bigs, not very good. Yeah, Jackson Hayes.
Ben Buns.
It's not good. And you understand why they tried to trade for the guy out of Charlotte. I think, Mark Cain's his name? I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But that's why they tried to trade for him, because they know they needed a presence on the inside. They weren't able to get him, obviously, after he failed the physical. And
right. I almost forgot about that.
And it showed. It showed in this postseason. And they went to small ball because they were trying to neutralize Anthony Edwards and Jaden McDaniels. And then the Timberwolves said, okay, well, we'll just give it to Rudy Gobert and let him carry us. And that's what he did. So you got to give credit to Rudy Gobert. But this Lakers team, it was, while they did get out physicaled, it was just a bad matchup for them, too.
Well, we have very exciting news here in Atlanta. The Hawks' very own Dyson Daniels won Most Improved Player for the league. By the way,
ding,
he's going to be joining the morning shift tomorrow at 8:20. We're going to get to talk to him. But Dyson came into the Hawks as a productive starter, shooting guard. Now he's a foundation player for the Hawks, led the NBA with 229 steals. That is the most since Seattle's Gary Payton had 231 in the 95-96 season. And obviously, Dyson is understandably excited.
I think this year, I'm just happy that I got into a position where, like, I kind of, you know, earned my respect from my opponents, my teammates, my coaches. Like, you know, I feel like this year I just came in with a different mindset, you know, really willing to do whatever it takes to, you know, stamp my foot in this league. And I always knew I had the capabilities of doing it. It was just about, you know, going out there, being confident in myself. And credit to my coaches, my teammates, you know, they wanted me to go out there, be myself. Coach Q was great and, you know, putting me in positions to succeed. So I'm just happy that, you know, I kind of got a fresh start here in Atlanta and kind of, you know, made the most of it. But I still feel like there's a lot more improvement in me. And, you know, I said this on the media before, I feel like that I can win another one of these awards.
Yeah, he's the first Hawk to win it since the great legend Allen Henderson won it in 97-98. Did you guys see he was on NBA on TNT and his pops is behind him with the balloons and he pops in behind him? It's hilarious. See, that's how fathers are supposed to interact with their NBA sons, not just on the court and then try to attack the guy that you just beat like a clown, you know, former MVP and NBA champion. But I'm so happy for Dyson Daniels to kind of – he said it, but – kind of it's a rejuvenation here when he got traded here, and he really recreated himself as far as being a guy that was a first round pick that lived up to it. And so it's just such a cool story, and love the fact that he's a big piece of this team moving forward.
I'm absolutely, like you said, Bo, thrilled for Dyson Daniels, and he was, in my opinion, definitely clear and above the most deserving for this reward. And it makes you feel a little bit better about him not winning Defensive Player of the Year, because you can understand Evan Mobley winning it. You know, usually the guy who's the league leader in blocks and, you know, on the best team like he was, or one of the best teams like he was, you understand him getting that. But the fact that he did get this recognition, which, Bo, you've talked about before, some Hawks don't always get the recognition they deserve. So for him to get this, it makes you feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
Yeah, only the second postseason award for the Atlanta Hawks in the last, 28 years, something along those lines. It's just insane. I think it was Jamal Crawford won Sixth Man of the Year in 2010. So just, it's crazy, man, but it's awesome. And like Ali mentioned, we'll have him on tomorrow. I want to ask him, like, the first question, I'm already thinking about this, like, the first question, I'm going to be like, man, what kind of drills? You know what I mean? For most improved player, like, what kind of hand-eye drills are we doing, you know? Like, you see guys wear, like, the 3D goggles on the TV, or the guys, like, throwing the tennis balls at the wall. Like, I'm just like, what are we doing, you know? Like, what?
Or the little thing, like, do you think he's doing the little thing where they have the, like, button and the thing, like, the little tubes randomly drop?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's exactly
how many times is he doing that a day?
Yeah. Like, we need to get, like, you know, inside the Dyson Daniels effect from the offseason. We'll ask him all about that.
He's not a Formula One driver, guys, all right? Yeah. He's not a Formula One driver. He plays basketball.
His hand-eye coordination, dude. Hand-eye coordination off the freaking charts for Dyson Daniels. Led the league in deflections by, like, 150. Something insane like that. So we'll talk to him tomorrow. Look, we got to have more of this Falcons conversation on the other side. The Falcons assistants met with the media yesterday. And if you listen close enough, the roles of these linebackers and these rookies started to emerge yesterday. We'll let you hear from a number of Falcons assistant coaches on the other side.